सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः। उल्चान चैप्टर 2 वर्सेस 11 टू 15। श्री भगवानुवाच श्री भगवानुवाच अशोच्यानन्वशोचस्त्वम् अशोच्यानन्वशोचस्त्वम् प्रज्ञावादांश्च भाषसे प्रज्ञावादांश्च भाषसे गतासूनगतासूंश्च गतासूनगतासूंश्च नानुशोचन्ति पण्डिताः नानुशोचन्ति पण्डिताः। श्रीभगवानुवाच अशोच्यानन्वशोचस्त्वम् प्रज्ञावादांश्च भाषसे गतासूनगतासूंश्च नानुशोचन्ति पण्डिताः। न त्वेवाहं जातु नासं न त्वेवाहं जातु नासं न त्वं नेमे जनाधिपाः न त्वं नेमे जनाधिपाः न चैव न भविष्यामः न चैव न भविष्यामः। सर्वे वयमतः परं सर्वे वयमतः परं न त्वेवाहं जातु नासं न त्वं नेमे जनाधिपाः न चैव न भविष्यामः। सर्वे वयमतः परं देहिनोऽस्मिन् यथा देहे देहिनोऽस्मिन् यथा देहे कौमारं यौवनं जरा कौमारं यौवनं जरा तथा देहान्तरप्राप्तिः देहान्तरप्राप्तिः। धीरस्तत्र न मुह्यते धीरस्तत्र न मुह्यते देहिनोऽस्मिन् यथा देहे कौमारं यौवनं जरा तथा देहान्तरप्राप्तिः। धीरस्तत्र न मुह्यते मात्रा स्पर्शास्तु कौन्तेय मात्रा स्पर्शास्तु कौन्तेय शीतोष्णसुखदुःखदाः शीतोष्णसुखदुःखदाः आगमापायिनो नित्याः आगमापायिनो नित्याः। तां तितिक्षस्व भारत तां तितिक्षस्व भारत मात्रा स्पर्शास्तु कौन्तेय शीतोष्णसुखदुःखदाम् आगमापायिनो नित्याः। तां तितिक्षस्व भारत यं हि न व्यतयन्ते ते यं हि न व्यतयन्ते ते पुरुषं पुरुषर्षभ पुरुषं पुरुषर्षभ समदुःखसुखं धीरं समदुःखसुखं धीरं सोहृदत्वाय कल्पते हृदत्वाय कल्पते यं हि न व्यतयन्ते ते पुरुषं पुरुषर्षभ समदुःखसुखं धीरं सोहृदत्वाय कल्पते। Shri Krishna begins the Gita with verse number 11 of chapter 2, where he says, Ashochyan Annashochastvam Prajna Vadamsya Bhashase Gatasun Agatasun Na Anushochanti Panditaha. Arjuna, you have been grieving for those who do not deserve to be grieved for. By that, it doesn't mean particularly about Bhishma, Drona, etc. It means anybody and everybody. Nobody deserves to be grieved for. And then he says, wise do not grieve for those who have come and those who have gone, those who are born and those who are gone. You seem to speak words of wisdom, means there is no wisdom in your action. Where is the wisdom? If you had knowledge, if you had become wise by digesting that knowledge, then you would not be grieving. So Krishna is not only a person who speaks but who lives that. You will never find a picture of Krishna without a smile. He always was smiling. He never gave himself to grief. He also went through so much difficulties. He was born in the jail. He was immediately separated from his parents. And every now and then there were so many Rakshasas and so many people, Kamsa, etc., were trying to finish him off. In spite of all the difficulties and challenges that he faced, he never allowed himself to fall into grief. So somebody who, if at all, is qualified to talk these verses, it is Krishna. Because he has somebody who has practiced it. You must be somebody who speak what you have already been living. Otherwise your speech will be empty words. So here Krishna is straight away telling, you may be speaking wonderful things, I'm not going to fall for those words because they are empty. What about the action? In action you are sitting and grieving. And why is that? Wise people do not grieve for anybody. He says, nat tvevaham chatunasam natvam neme janadipah nachaiva na bhavishyamaha sarve vayamatapara. Verse number 12, he says, never indeed was I not, nor you, nor these rulers of men, also none of us will cease to be hereafter. This you must remember, any wise person, when he looks at an object or a being, the difference comes in his perception. Like Maurice Maeterlinck says, happy and blessed are is when wickedness stands forth revealed as goodness bereft of a guide. A person has been caught red-handed doing something wrong. How does a wise person view? He says, as somebody who has lacked guidance. Whatever actions need to be taken, you will take, but the perception itself is different. That makes all the difference. We are conditioned to look at anything and everything with reference to the body, mind and intellect. He has removed those conditionings and he never fails to look at it from the point of view of Atman. In fact, he doesn't see anything from any other angle. So in fact, he doesn't say you are someone who have been always there. He says you have never been not there. He puts it in negative. He doesn't say I have been always there. He says I have never been not there. Nor these kings. There was never a situation or a time when they were not there. So obviously, he said, what is he talking? Before his birth or anybody's birth, such a person was not living. So when Krishna is making this statement, that means he's not making it from the point of view of the body, mind, intellect. So like I told you last week, that equation, I is equal to what? Right? I is equal to what? We think I is equal to body, mind, intellect. Krishna says, I is equal to Atma. And Atma is what? Nityam. It is always there. It has never left you. it is available to you during manifestation, but when it is, for example, when an individual goes to sleep, then also the Atma is very much there. That is why when the individual comes away, he reports that I experienced nothingness. So the I has always been there. So there is never a scene where I was not there. And you need not have doubt that I is there now. Do you have any doubts that you are there now? I suppose you don't. So he doesn't talk about the present here. But then he says in future also the I will continue. So therefore, what value do you give to I? That matters. A person is elected, and after election he has been selected for heading a ministry. Okay, he has been conferred some power, right? And whoever conferred it on him, the Prime Minister, also has the power to remove it from him. This person, when the power is there, the value is given. Isn't it? A lot of us, what happens? The same person, same gentleman, Mr. So-and-so, suddenly becomes powerful. Why? That value has been given. Similarly, we have devalued ourselves by equating the I to body, mind, intellect. Therefore, Vedanta is just saying, reevaluate the whole thing. Reassess the whole thing. Is your perception correct? Do you think your assessment is correct? Do you think your valuation is correct? When you reevaluate, Krishna is saying, you are actually that supreme Atma, which never ceases to be. So in other words, what he is saying, Bhishma, Drona and all these people, they always continue to be there. Whatever is there, only what happens is, the modification may happen with reference to the body, mind, intellect, but the net continues. So therefore there is nothing to worry. So he is basically, first he made the statement, wise do not grieve. Now on he is explaining why wise do not grieve. Wise do not grieve because they are looking at it from the Atma point of view. They have the right valuation for the I. We do not have the right valuation. That's the problem. Therefore, for example, when a person fails, he thinks he is a failure, and 2-3 people around him come and say, you are a failure, you are a failure. That particular action of his could have failed or could have been wrongly assessed as failure. Are you with me? Could have been wrongly assessed as failure. Once upon a time in India, people, if they went to school and just scored 35-40 marks, everybody was happy. But now with 100 also, nobody is happy. So from this standpoint, those who scored 40 and they were all treated as successful people would be now treated as failures. You understand? Also, one action of yours could have failed. But on the very same day, the very same person throughout his life is doing so many actions in which he is not a failure. So when people commit suicide, they are buying that argument of somebody saying that you are a failure, which is also from the very limited perspective. Therefore what happens? I am a failure. I have equated myself from that angle, then I commit suicide or I get depressed. If you gain the knowledge to see it from the total picture, then you say, yeah, maybe I failed here, but I am not a failure. that particular action of mine could have failed because of my negligence or lack of availability of data or so many reasons. But why should I wrongly equate, instead of saying my action failed, that I have failed? So wise people clearly understand this. Therefore, they don't get affected. So always remember what equation that we are living in life matters. So a lot of us give value to somebody's view upon you, and if they say you are a failure, the whole day you are agitated. They have to come and say tomorrow, oh good, then you are okay. Can't you live independently? Can't you take independent assessments? So Krishna is saying, if you take independent assessments, look at it from the eye. A wise man means he stands from the eye point of view, never from anything. Never does he come down. He can never compromise from Atma. Then only he is wise. Otherwise you are just talking. And he continues. Now, when Krishna said, I was never there, obviously in our mind the doubt comes. If we are not that subtle enough to grasp the point he is saying. See, remember, he is only making a statement. He is not conducting a class there and explaining his statement. He has made a statement there. Never indeed was I not. So Arjuna has to understand it. So he continues by saying, you may wonder, then what about they were not there? Previous birth, whatever they had, they died, and now they are born in the new form. In between they were not there, you may think. What about that? What about death? He continues talking about it. Dehi no sminyata dehe, dehi no sminyata dehe, kaumaram yavvanam jara, kaumaram yavvanam jara, tata dehantara praptihe, tata dehantara praptihe, dhirastatra namuyati, dhirastatra namuyati, dehi no sminyata dehe, kaumaram yavvanam jara, tata dehantara praptihe, dhirastatra namuyati. Just as the embodied Dehinaha, just as the embodied passes through Kaumaram. Kaumaram means boyhood or girlhood. Before that there is a stage called Balyam. Balyam is childhood, babyhood. Okay? So from, sometimes Kaumaram can be loosely translated as childhood also. But what he is trying to say here is, from Balyam stage, a person grows to Kaumaram stage, Bayud or girlhood stage. And then from there, Yavvanam, youthhood. Then old age, Jara. So just as the embodied goes through childhood, boyhood, youthhood, old age, in this body, asmin, in this, asmin dehe, in this body, so does it, so does it, passes into another body. There the wise one is not grieved. What do you understand from this verse?
At a stage of your life also,
Is what is being given up when a person dies. He doesn't die. Take the example of container and the content. You have put some sugar in a container. The container has become very old. So what do? You empty the sugar from that container into another container. The content remains the same. Container has been
changed.
That is all happening at the death series. In other words, you can actually do nothing to Bhishma Drona. The container could be changed. Whether you want to change it or not, it is constantly changing. As you are looking at this watch is changing. It's not only showing the time that is changing, that very watch is changing. The pebbles that you see today could have been once upon a time a huge boulders, big boulders. Big boulders could have become pebbles today. Isn't it? There's constant changing happening. As you are looking at this glass is changing. You don't see it. Isn't it? You shave, and in the evening you see little hair has grown. It is not that only the evening it has grown. As you have been shaving, it has been growing. So change is something that is constantly happening at the body, mind, intellect level, and the embodied, the individual who is sitting inside the body may go through the changes at the body level. And one such change is death. When from childhood you become, you grow to the stage of boyhood, the body has changed, but the identity remains the same, no? Just because you have become a boy now, have they changed your name? Identity remains the same. You thought the identity remains the same. You might have committed a murder 20 years ago. 20 years later, your whole body is changed, or you have even gone for some plastic surgery and all that. Because of which you have changed. In fact, there was a movie also, somebody told me. The guy undergoes a complete plastic surgery and looks completely different. But they find out that this fellow is the same, and they put him behind bars. So 20 years later, your body has changed. So therefore, do they stop you from imprisoning? No. So therefore, the identity of the I continues even when the modifications happen at the body level. I doesn't go through the modifications. Modifications are only for the body, mind, intellect. It is not Atma that is getting transferred from one body to another. See, in that example of container and content, the content that we are talking about in that example, for example, we took the sugar, is not the all-pervading content. You understand? Whereas here, the content is Atma, which is all-pervading, which doesn't move. Movement is possible only from the place where you are to a place where you are not. If you are everywhere, how is the movement possible? So it's not the Atma that is moving. The so-called container that is containing the body undergoes change. Atma doesn't undergo any change. So he says, Dehina asmin yata dehe kaumaram yavanam jara. So also that Atma passes into another body. What's a big deal? You wear in a house before coming to this class. From there you have moved into this house. From here, after the class is over, you may move into some other house. You are constantly moving, but In your house also they called you the same name. In this house also they will call you the same name. Whichever house you will go, in that house also they will call you the same name. The identity cannot be destroyed. What can be destroyed? Only the body, mind, intellect. That's all he is saying here. Therefore, the wise person doesn't grieve. Actually, if you look at it from that point of view of the container also, what happens to the container? Can it be destroyed?
Yes. Something new can be manufactured,
right? So the container only gets recycled.
Doesn't get destroyed.
When somebody dies, the body is given up, the atma takes up another body. But this previous body, to kya hota hai? Buried or cremated, usko kya hota hai? Having gone back into the earth, it will come back as a flower or a fruit or something like that. Right? So, container is given up, and strictly speaking, container also gets recycled. Actually speaking, he is going to explain all these things later on. But from any angle, if you look, there is no loss. Container also is getting recycled. Content also is not lost. So you are sitting and crying, obviously because it is an imagined loss. Okay? Agar there is a loss and you are grieving, then it is something that everybody should be concerned about. Achha, poor fellow. He is not lost anything. He is imagining that it is lost. Now what will you call that fellow? Would you be sitting and crying with them or would you laugh at them? What are you saying? Lost? There is no lost, man. You understand? You see, there is the story that is given in the, I think in Panchatantra it comes. There are 10 fellows who are not, if you put it mildly, not thinkers, means fools. They had to cross the river from this side to the other side. So they said, let us choose one leader, because they thought while they cross, some of them could be washed away. So the leader should guide them. So they selected one fellow, and as per his instructions, they crossed over. And after crossing over, the leader said, all of you stand, I want to count. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. Huh? 10 of us crossed. Only 9 fellows are there. So he counted every which way he can, and it was only 9. So everybody sat down and was crying. One fellow who was passing by that side, they said, why are you guys making so much noise? What is the problem? He said, see, 10 of us crossed, one fellow is dead, so we are mourning for his death. So he said, this looks funny because he could count in. See, what is wrong? So then he said, okay, now you count. So he counted 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. So see, one fellow is missing, therefore we are crying. He said, okay, you go and stand now, I will count. So he went and stood there, he counted 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. You are the 10th fellow whom you thought was lost. So there is no grief. There is no need to grieve. So from the container point of view or from the content point of view, there is no problem. So where is the problem? The problem is only in the ignorance. Therefore, the solution is the knowledge. So that knowledge is what he is giving now. What are you talking, man, Arjuna? Huh? There is nothing to be grieved for. Nobody actually ceases to be ever. They always continue to be there. When you think that they have gone, what has gone is only the body has gone for a recycle. The subtle body has taken up a new body. And In fact, it is good for that body, na? Any object over a period of time when you continue to use can be found wanting. So you throw that and wear a new one. Is it good or bad? It's good. You see a guy with the same shirt every day, you will feel, "Arey Baba, what is it? You cannot afford for another shirt or something? I'll give you if you want." So every 7 years, science tells us that our cells are being replaced. Isn't it? Every 7 years the cells are being replaced. So this change is unavoidable. This is something that is part and parcel. But in and through this change, the wise person recognizes the changeless Atma. Therefore, there is no grief. That's the point. Okay. What happens is, Atma is changeless. So he uses the change to identify with the changeless. He doesn't get dragged away by the changes. That's all. To identify with anything changeless, you need a reference from the changing aspect.
You know, Noji, it's so we live in a world where we form connections based on love or based on affection, and we live in families.
Mm.
And I think a major portion of that is recognition of the container, not of the content. Like a young child is going to look at the mother and look at the picture of the mother and feel, you know, the comfort or the love. So a lot of the way we lead our life is actually based on the container.
Yes.
So, I mean...
So, what's the question?
No, my... This is more of an observation.
So, you continue to cry then? If that is what you're saying, if all of us look at from the container and it is changed, so therefore I'm sitting and crying.
I'm saying...
But don't expect others to say that...
If we... When we live our lives in this form, we... instinctively recognize containers.
Yes, because only body mind intellect can only recognize body mind intellect. Body mind intellect cannot recognize Atma. Atma is not something that can be conceived. Gross cannot conceive the subtle. You can posit it. You can think of a possibility. But that is not Atma. Theek hai? See, in other words, what you are saying is, I only know the container. Correct. You being trapped in a container, looking at somebody else being trapped in a container, do what best obligations you have. But all that Krishna is saying here is, you cannot remain in that state forever. You must grow. You must grow to a state where you also try to posit and see the vision that the Shastras are trying to give you, to see that Atma continues. From your own example, they try to make you understand all these things. How? Like when you were sleeping. Imagine death and sleep. Just do some little bit of comparison. Sleep is also a temporary death. At the time also, when your mother, you gave the example of mother, so I'm using the same example. The mother is sleeping. Right? Later on the mother wakes up, again goes to sleep, again wakes up. So what is happening there? That person has been continuing even in the sleep, no? If he or she was not continuing, then how could that person come out awake from that? So the continuity is there, is something that we need to understand. So therefore, the container loss will give you sorrow, but it cannot give you grief. Vedanta is not saying sorrow nahi hona chahiye. Joy and sorrow is part and parcel of life. The loss of a container which served you is, you know.
So here the difference is sorrow and grief would be that grief
Grief is something that sorrow that has infiltrated and affected you from doing day-to-day things. That is grief.
Prevents you from your...
Of course.
Yeah.
It's only rational.
See, the reality of life is that the body has to change, body has to be destroyed, will go. Everybody dies. Even Krishna's body, even if Lord comes in form in a body, that body also will have to be destroyed, will go through the destruction. There is no excuse for that. Right? But, so when you miss, when you see such a container, there is some container which has served you for long. There are certain containers which just come and go like that. So this container is something that has served you, so you feel, you know, that separation, a little bit of sorrow is there. But you understand, that's part of life and you continue. But to allow, in this case, first of all, Bhishma and Drona have not died. Arjuna imagines that they can die and that he is not. So in other words, that very imagination, whether he kills them or not, they are going to die one day. So that thought of their death is preventing him from doing what he is supposed to do now. And that is something that is unacceptable. And especially for somebody who is an adult, it is unacceptable. When the body grows from childhood to boyhood to youthhood, along with it, you should have gained the knowledge of Atma. If you have not gained the knowledge of Atma, only body has become adult, but the individual has still not yet become the adult. That is sinful. What is sin? Sin is not growing. I make a mistake today. I must learn from it and not repeat that mistake tomorrow. Agar I make the mistake again and again, I am committing a sin. I have not learned anything from it. So what is happening is, we are growing physically, we don't have to do anything, but we are refusing to grow emotionally and intellectually and spiritually. We must understand this knowledge. Once we gain this knowledge, then what happens? Yes, just because you gain this knowledge doesn't mean your body will not die or your relative's body will not die. That will happen. But you will stop it at sorrow level. You will not allow it to grow from sorrow level to grief level. That is the point. Things must continue. Work must continue. Work cannot come to a halt. Impossible. Just because you want to study Bhagavad Gita class, Bhagavad Gita, you don't take care of things at home, obviously there will be a problem. They will say, what nonsense is this? Which class are you going? Stop this class now. Right? Supposing you make sure that things continue, in spite of it, if they say, don't go to Bhagavad Gita class, then you can tell them, you mind your own business. What I am supposed to do has been done. So what is your problem? You understand? So things should not stop. This grief kind of halts the progress. That is the problem. So he is trying to explain here very clearly from the point of view of content and container. And very interestingly, if you see Swamiji's translation, he calls it it. Huh? It passes through. It. What is that it? Now this you need to clearly understand. The it cannot be Atma. Atma doesn't pass through. I just told you, passing from one container to another, if possible, if the content was in one container and not in the other container. If the content is everywhere, then there is a question of passing. So what is passing? The subtle body is passing. What is the subtle body? Body, mind and intellect, thoughts. So what is death? How is death defined? Death is defined as transference of subtle body along with the causal body. Within subtle, next to subtle body you can put within bracket mind and intellect, and next to causal body you can put within brackets vasanas, temperament, nature.
You just repeat them.
Yeah, I'll repeat. Transference of subtle body within bracket mind and intellect along with causal body within bracket vasanas, from one gross body within bracket physical body to another gross body in the medium of pure consciousness within bracket atma is death.
From
one gross body within bracket physical body to another gross body in the medium of pure consciousness within bracket atma. Okay. No, I'll explain. There is a frame A and there is another frame B. Both the frames are fitted with mirrors. Sorry, A is fitted with mirror, B is not fitted with mirror. Okay? A is fitted with mirror, B is not fitted with mirror. Sunlight is all pervading. Sunlight will be reflected through frame A because it has mirror. It will not be reflected through frame B because it doesn't have mirror. Now I unscrew the mirror from frame A and shift it to frame B. Abhi, what will happen? Sunlight will be reflected in frame B, not in frame A. Before it was reflecting in frame A, abhi it is reflected in frame B. So you say in colloquial language it has passed from A to B, lekin reflection has not passed. Kya pass ho gaya?
Mirror.
Subtle body has transferred. This room is filled with light. Can you see light?
No.
Many of you say yes, some of you say no. Can you see light? How many of you see light? Put up your hands. You don't see light.
In the night you see light. In the day, how can I can't see light?
In the night you see light?
Yeah.
Okay, then put up your hands. Do you see light?
No, I think it helps me see other things.
Light cannot be seen, whether it's day or night, doesn't matter. What you see is object plus light. Light cannot be seen. Please understand this. Now you are talking physics. You are not talking Vedanta. Whatever you see is light plus object. So what is light? Whatever you see minus the object. That is light. Anything that abstracts light gets reflected. That reflected light is what you see. Light you don't see. Are you with me? So therefore, Atma makes its reflection through the subtle body, even gross body, to whichever gross body it is attached to. So in colloquial language we say Atma has gone. Atma doesn't go, it's everywhere. If something which is everywhere, how can it go or come? This going and coming business is not of Atma. Subtle body keeps moving. The change happens. And till when this change will go on? Till the causal body is removed. Abhi cause nahi hai, then where will be the effect? Jab tak cause hai, effect will be there. So therefore, when a wise person understands this, even when he goes to a condolence meeting, there he will not give this lecture there. He will have that sorrow, he will feel that separation from his heart. But he will never allow that sorrow to cloud his head. That is the thing. Never allow anything. You got disturbed, somebody said something, something happened. That should not stop you from your activities. That should continue. Why should it be stopped? Just because Swami Chinmayanandaji is not there in body now, does it mean the Chinna mission work stops? Nothing should happen like that. It should continue. So, Dehi Nosmin Yata Dehe Kaumaram Yavanam Jara. So you must be physically changing, at the gross level changing, but must constantly maintain the awareness of the changeless in and through the changes. That is the wise fellow. Inside, he doesn't change. Without changing, remaining changeless, he recognizes the changes happening outside. Then you are a wise person. When do you become wise? Only then do you become wise. That's all he's saying there. Therefore, wise people do not grieve. Because they don't equate the eye to body. In fact, if you equate the eye to body, then every 7 years you should sit and cry. You understand? You don't. But it is changing. You look completely different with a little different hairstyle. Forget about everything else. Just a little hairstyle you changed. You look completely different. So this change is something that is at the superficial level. And you are sitting and crying for that. That's what Krishna is not able to understand. And it's not just Arjuna's problem. Everybody's problem is the same thing. The word change is something that gives fear. Supposing I say, instead of Tuesday, we'll meet on Wednesdays, then immediately there will be a big furrow here. Not Tuesday. Then Tuesday, why not? Accepting the change is not easy. And things cannot remain static forever. Things will change. Has to change. Just because you have not grown to the stature of accepting it, doesn't mean nature is going to stop doing its duty. Nature will continue. Isn't it? So therefore, what is this death? You are saying they were there always. If they were there always in between, how do you account for the period they were not? They were just unmanifest. Avyaktam. For example, we have few more class members. At the moment, all the class members are not here. As far as this room is concerned, they are all avyaktam. They are there. They are unmanifest. Even this example is very limited. As far as this room is concerned, you will say they are not there. Avyaktam, when you say, when the hand is there, the reflected light is seen. When the object is there, reflected light is seen. When the object is not there, light is there. Just because you are not able to see, doesn't mean light is not there. It is unmanifest. Now they are vyaktam. Bhishma and Drona, Atma reflected through their body is now vyaktam. When they die, suppose, whenever they die, then that Atma is avyaktam. In fact, even when it is getting reflected through Bhishma Drona body, it is avyaktam only. You are only seeing the reflected light, you are never seeing the light. Light is always avyaktam. It is never vyaktam.
This quality of the Atma is avyaktam.
Yes. Yes. Atma is always avyaktam. Light is always unseen. It's never vyaktam. Vyaktam is something that is available for your body, mind, intellect. Something that is not available for your body, mind, intellect, how can that be vyaktam? How can that be manifest? It is unmanifest. Upanishads say it is not what you see, but what makes you see. It's not what you hear, but what makes you hear. So that is avyaktam. And being avyaktam, it continues. You go to a movie theater, movie is being projected on a screen. Nobody recognizes the screen. Everybody is caught up in the show there. Titanic, when the hero sacrifices his life, everybody is in tears. Right? Now, screen's presence nobody realizes. The light, projector's light presence nobody recognizes. But it is very much there. So we are going through all these mood swings and all that, not realizing that Atma is available there also. Avyakta. It is there. So, Atma is avyaktam, he says. It is not passing. Don't get caught by this word. Because in translation you see, Swamiji has said, it passes through. Another thing I would like to say, in Swamiji's way of translating and commenting, I'm not saying this is the right thing or wrong thing. That's for you to work out. In fact, I would say nobody is right or wrong. In fact, we should use our head all the time. Swamiji, whenever he talks about Atma, he will use capital letter to start with that word. If he says self and small s is used, then he is talking about the little self. If he uses self with a capital S, then he is talking about Atma. So here also in the translation, if he meant it, by that if he meant Atma, then he should have used capital I. But he uses small I. But let me tell you, tomorrow, supposing you want to change it to capital I have no problem with it. As long as you understand this, why? Strictly speaking, small I is the correct thing, not the capital I. Everywhere, even in the commentary, whenever you see Swamiji using Atma word, he puts capital A, not small A. Sometimes it's the same Atma by which mind is meant, then it will be small a, not capital A. Are you with me? So these are things that you can bring about when you write. When you speak, you cannot say capital A, small A and all that and then speak. Right? So you need to understand the fundamentals clearly. The fundamental is that Atma is all-pervading, avyaktam, reality, nityam, sashvatam, never ceases to be. So where is the question of passing? Passing comes when something goes from one to another. There is no modifications here with reference to Atma. Modifications and all that happens only to the body, mind, intellect. And this is very clear in a wise person's life. He remains identified with the changeless principle always. He doesn't get carried away by the changes. Whether it is childhood, boyhood, youth, old age, jodhya, he doesn't get carried away. He continues, Matras Parshastu Kaunteya
Shitoshna Sukha Dukkadaha Agamapayino Nityaha Tam Titikshasva Bharata Matras Parshastu Kaunteya Shitoshna Sukha Dukkadaha Agamapayino Nityaha Tam Titikshasva Bharata.
The sense contacts, Matras Parsha, sense contact, O Kaunteya, O Kunti Putra Arjuna, which cause heat and cold, pleasure and pain, they come and go. Agama Payinaha, they come and go. Anityaha, they are impermanent. Tam Titiksha Swabharata. Titiksha means what? Endure. O Bharata, O Arjuna, belonging to this culture, the culture of Bharat is to endure. What cannot be cured must be endured. And it is the person who has the capacity to endure who can bring about some change, if at all. The person who lacks tolerance cannot bring about any change. The person who has the capacity to tolerate is the one who can bring about change. He is not saying don't change. But then what is he saying here? Okay, death is something, nothing is happening, Atma continues. But when I am living and I am going through changes, what do I do? What does a wise person do? He understands that the senses contact the world, and when the senses contact the world, there will be heat and cold that it will contact. Heat is pleasant sometimes, sometimes it is pain. Cold is pleasant sometimes, sometimes it is pain. In other words, heat is pleasant during winter. Cold is unpleasant during the time. If somebody by mistake switches on the AC, you finish that fellow. What nonsense are you doing? By mistake, instead of switching on the heater, you switched on the AC. But the same heater, if some fellow switches on during summer, will finish that guy. Heat is pleasant, and that same thing that was pleasant can become pain. A fellow got married. Then, after marriage, they went on a honeymoon, and in the place they were living, there was a nice temple, well-known temple. So they said, we'll visit the temple also. So when they visited the temple, you are, you know, you leave your chappals outside and then you enter the mandir. They left the chappal and entered the mandir. A thorn got embedded in the wife's soul. So the husband was cursing the thorn and the fellows who had put the thorn inside the mandir. After a few years, with their children, they visited the same mandir. Then also, a thorn had been hit, wife's soul. Now he was cursing his wife. Can't you look properly and walk? What was a pleasure has now become pain. What was pain could also become pleasure. This is the beauty of our contacts. It is not something that is always pleasurable. What is pleasant becomes pain. What is pain can become pleasant. So pain and pleasant, these both are something that you can experience from your contact. So body will go through heat and cold, and sometimes it is pleasant, sometimes it is pain. That is why he uses two pairs of opposites here, heat and cold, pleasant and pain. Which the contacts may cause heat and cold? If you are identified with the body, then the heat and cold will affect you. If you are not identified with the body, then the heat and cold cannot affect. Isn't it? So where is your identification? So he says, Matras Parshastu Kaunteya Shita Ushna Sukha Dukkha Adama Payinaha. They come and go. Pleasure comes not to stay. Even this shall pass away. So pain comes, that also not to stay. Even this shall pass away. But psychologically you feel pain is lasting longer. Pleasure is not. Even if the duration of both pleasant and pain has been the same. Let us say 10 minutes pleasure, 10 minutes pain. But the 10 minutes pain will look like 2 hours. The 10 minutes pleasure will look like 2 seconds. Why?
Their soul wants and they move on, and we repeat it in our own head more than once. So we're recreating that situation multiple times. Like I think.
You want to tolerate that pain. This pain of tolerance is. So it seems like a beautiful. You know, something you want to go.
So psychologically, if you spend 1 hour, 25 minutes, 1 hour, 1.5 hours, 3 hours, and you really thoroughly enjoy that movie, let us say you watched a movie for 3 hours, but 3 hours you say, oh, 3 hours gone. You understand? But half an hour, if you are on the table with the doctor and he is doing all sorts of tests, it looks like 10 hours for you. Psychologically, time is different. We kind of take sides. We always take the side of pleasant and resist pain. And whatever we resist with persists psychologically. So we feel pain is staying for longer duration. Pleasant is not staying that long. Time may be same, number biological time may be same. the world time, 10 minutes, 20 minutes could have been seen, time that you were subjected. But this seems as if you were there in it for long.
Because you resisted.
Yeah. So the thing is, sense contacts. Well, as long as you are in the body, you will be contacting the world. And whatever contact it is, it will be giving you pleasure. It itself can turn into pain. What is giving you pain could turn into pleasure. That's the very nature of this world. And therefore, what you have to do? You must accept the nature. A fellow who has not accepted the nature, firstly, what happens to him? He will be agitated. And secondly, because he is agitated, he loses the capacity to change. If at all any change can be brought about. So, the mental acceptance is what he is talking about here. This is the nature. What can I do about it? That is something that you need to accept. If you accept that, then you can bring about some change, being calm. But not accepting, being agitated, you lose the capacity to bring about any change. So this is a very important verse. He is talking about acceptance in this verse. And why are we all stressed? Because we don't accept. Swami Ramtirtha says, all grumblings tantamount to, oh, why a lily not an oak? We want the lily to be an oak. The nature of the world is this. Can you change it? So if you cannot change it, then what do you have to do? You have to accept without resistance. By accepting, you actually make it fail. Means it will not have any adverse effect on you. By resisting, you allow it to bring that adverse result on you. It is the nature of the world to offer you pleasure and pain, but you must be alert and awake there to decipher whether I should accept it or not, the offer. Isn't it? World can offer you pain. So unconsciously you receive it, then you suffer. So basically, this pair of opposites seems to be having an effect on us today. How not to allow the pairs of opposites to disturb you? That is what he is talking about. By understanding that this world is nothing but pairs of opposites. Any contact will bring this pairs of opposites. As Jesus Christ says, iniquity there shall be. It will be there. You cannot change it. But woe unto you if you be the cause of it. If you are also agitated, what kind of changes can you bring about? So he is saying, first and foremost, understand, assess the nature of the world around you. With the body, you are contacting the world. With the mind, you are contacting the world. With the intellect, you are contacting the world. You cannot avoid contact. Whenever you contact, firstly you must understand the nature of the object you are contacting, the being you are contacting. You understand the nature. What is the nature of the world? Agama payinaha, anitya. Once you know it is anitya, is it your fault to try and find nitya there? Or is it the fault of the nature? Do you understand the question first of all? If you understand, the nature of the world is anitya. Is it your fault to go and try to find nitya there, or is it the fault of the nature? Your fault. So if you realize it's your fault, what do you have to do?
If it's not changeable,
you change yourself.
Yes.
How? By not wanting to expect permanence there. So what? Impermanent things will be impermanent. Enjoy and go. No. Jab tak hai, take care. Do your duty. Don't wait for it to go. Or don't mourn after it's gone. What we do, jab tak wo zinda hai, we don't give him all that he loves to eat. After he dies, in his remembrance, we eat everything he likes. What rubbish is this? You understand? What you have to do to him? Do it. Understanding me? Don't go and tell that fellow. When he's in the ICU, remember life is impermanent, anytime you can go. Understand? This is what I studied in the Gita class today. Impermanent, you don't expect it to be permanent. Be remaining in the realm, do what you have to do. Understand that also is impermanent. So, after it is gone, you don't sit and moan. While it is there, do what you have to do. Can anybody give more practical advice than this? That's what Krishna is giving here. So matras. So remember this word, titiksha. Titiksha is a very, very interesting word. Going through, putting up with inconvenience cheerfully. Consciously. When an unannounced guest has come or guests have come, do you say I don't have rooms enough to accommodate you? Hey, come on, whatever is there we'll all adjust here. Some of us will sleep on the floor, some of us will sleep on the bed. We'll adjust cheerfully, happily. Same way the world will offer unpleasant things. Not every day will be only pleasant things happening. Right? So when the unpleasant happens, meet it cheerfully and consciously. How? This is something that has come, I'll deal with it. But this is also impermanent. Pleasure comes, don't get stuck with it. Because you know that is also impermanent. So treat both pleasure and pain alike. Not because pleasure and pain are not different. Pleasure and pain are different maybe, but then deeply if you go, both belong to the same category, which is of passing category. Passing category ko, don't try to bring it to permanent category. Be in it, yet be not in it. And that is only possible by gaining this knowledge. So Bharata, O Arjuna, this is the culture, this is the culture of this Bharat. The environments should not upset you. The setup should not upset you. Today the setup is upsetting me. Why should the setup upset me? World is nothing but setup. Why should I allow the setup to upset me? I continue quietly going through whatever the setup offers, but never allowing that to make me grieve. Endure. So, sparsha is one contact. Like that, there are so many contacts with the eyes, with the body, we touch, with the eyes we see, with the tongue we taste. You know, when you have certain type of food, 2 minutes it gives you taste. Then 5 hours you are having stomachache. So much of spicy food you ate, and that moment it was so pleasant, then it is painful. Same thing can turn into pain or pleasure, isn't it? So whatever you go through, understand the nature of impermanence. With that understanding, when you go through, you accept it, you remain quiet. In fact, you will be able to sail through. If not, you will not be able to sail. Om Om Purnamada Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadhaya Purnameva Vashishyate. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti.